And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 169.
169.
That's right, folks. 169. Welcome to Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Yeah. So here's in 2012. My name is Silas Lindenstein.
My name is Samantha Run.
And we are your hosts for the show. And sometimes it's just us, and sometimes we're reviewing movies, and sometimes we have wonderful guests on. Sometimes guests from Samantha's past, sometimes guests from my past. Though that sounds more intriguing than it actually probably sounds extra intriguing, like from our past.
Will we ever have a guest from our past, future?
Silas? Huh?
Yeah, what about a guest from our
Here's
future?
A little voice from their past. From the future, that'd be very interesting. From your future.
Right. I feel like we'd have to have like a different booker, and they would be like,
probably
they would be like, you don't know them, but you want to.
Will.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
But our guest this week is wonderful, wonderfully funny comedian, actor, writer, Yola Liu. Yola Liu. Thank you, Yola, for coming on. I don't know. Originally from Seattle area?
Yes.
Okay. So a little originally from Seattle, now resides in Austin, Texas, where she's joining us via Zoom. So again, once again, thank you to the COVID-19 pandemic for bringing us yet another guest.
A silver lining.
We don't have to see each other in person now. Wonderful.
Yeah. I miss people so much, Silas. I just talk so often about how much I miss people, you know?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, we'll miss a lot of people when we're the only survivors.
Oh, my right? gosh, no.
Then you'll really
be.
Miss people.
It can't be.
Did you ever notice there's a movie, it's showing, they don't have the title. I'm trying to remember the title of it.
Oh, the title is Untitled.
Okay, there's a movie that came out. A few months ago, or maybe 6 months ago, but it's basically about the COVID-23 virus. Oh. And Bradley Whitfield is in it. Like, the COVID-19 kept mutating, and then now, like, the level that it's out now, and people panned it for being like a scare tactic movie kind of stuff. And this, it looks pretty awful, I'll tell you that. But I was like, oh, God, I hope it's not true. I hope it doesn't come true, but this
I don't even
seems
know what to
dangerous.
Think anymore.
Who
I was
knows?
All like,
we don't
so excited for the summer, and but anyways,
yeah, and the, just but, so because you were like, oh, I'm gonna have all these restful nights in this summer.
Well, I was excited. I was like, you know what? Then when the baby's here, we can actually like it'll be in time to actually we can see people. I mean, with what limited time
around.
We have, but like be around. Yeah, exactly. We could take her, like you know, just.
Because it'll be quiet and peaceful. And it'll just coo occasionally. Coo.
Coo-coo and lots of poo.
Coo-coo and poo. Yeah. babies are very easy to deal with. But, hey, I want to shout out a big thank you to our listeners. Thank you to everyone who's been going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a 5-star review. Appreciate that. And if you want to be extra appreciated, you can go there right now. And give 5 stars to Black and a Half. Thank you. Please and thank you, as I tell my kids. Or if you want to support the show in a little bit of a monetary way, you can go to our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/blackandahalf. And for as little as $1 a month, you could help support the show. Or you can become an Inner Circle member for just a little bit more. And, you know, and like Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. Thank you for your ongoing support of this program and everything we bring you. Also, another way you can support the program is by supporting our other programs.
Whoa.
Because, you know, I know it's like a, like, I don't want it to sound like an MLM or anything, but you can just go listen to these other shows, and that helps support us. You can go listen to my other podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, where I teach people how to the process of buying a home anywhere in the country, and I help connect agents and real estate agents with buyers. And yeah, I do that on that show at yourbuyingahome.com. Go listen to that and give that a good review as well. Or you can go to Samantha has a wonderfully entertaining podcast.
Oh, well, thank you, Silas.
Yeah. Tell me about that. What was the name again?
You know what? You can go check it out. It's called Beyond Technique with me, Samantha Rund, and guests, other artists and creatives. And yeah, you can watch it / listen to it on YouTube if you like having some video, or you can also go, of course, wherever you like to listen to your podcast to check out Beyond Technique as well. And then if you're looking for a coach to help you with performance techniques, that voice, body, mind connection, if you want to, you know, communicate with more of your whole self, more authentically, whether you're a public speaker, you're an actor, you're a comedian, you're prepping for that job interview, or just to get a little bit more comfortable in the skin you're in with communication and stuff, you can always reach me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com.
And if you like our guest, Yola Liu, you can go watch her her web series, Uncomfortable. Whether you want to support her or you have a fetish, you can go there.
Oh, boy.
Go to Vimeo and or search Yola Liu and Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable Yola Liu, yeah. Right? Is that what I would Google?
Yeah.
I want to know what else shows up. I don't know. Okay. We'll see. and watch her web series. And yeah. So that's those shows. But this is this one. So right now I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 169. Yola Liu.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by, stand by, stand by, stand by. Join us. Impressive.
These are yesterday's clothes. I did not change anything from yesterday.
That's good. That. So you had a good night.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it was a crazy night.
Were you weren't doing the 48 or anything, were you?
I booked my first voiceover gig.
Thanks.
And it's in Mandarin, and it's been very hard for me to kind of like be able to do this like properly, because I am a Chinese speaker, but the stuff that they wanted me to read is like super formal and just not conversational at all. And I did it just like struggled with it so much. So I was up till like 2 a.m. trying to like record all these like sessions. And then I finally just like fell asleep in bed. And then like, I was just like, I'll finish this tomorrow. And
oh, wow.
Wow. I had no idea. Are you from China?
My parents are from Taiwan, but, I grew up speaking to, Mandarin at home. So
is that the language of Taiwan or the dialect?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Mandarin cuisine different than Taiwanese cuisine?
Sort of. There's not, I would not necessarily, I guess like I would consider Mandarin cuisine like to be Taiwanese cuisine and stuff. Okay. So I would say it's like probably pretty similar.
Okay. There's a Taiwanese place near me, but I've never been. I don't know what that is yet.
It's probably really good.
But I'll go.
I want to try too.
Yeah.
My wife's allergic to ginger.
Oh.
And so she's a little hesitant on a lot of Asian places.
Yeah.
Especially the more authentic they seem.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, they're not just, you know, they might like cook everything with it. It's not coming out of a bag where they can say, nope, there's no ginger on the bag. So there's no ginger. Or,
right,
you know, exactly. she doesn't want a language confusion to mess her up, because it is a, like her throat starts tightening up kind of allergy.
Serious.
So she's like, nah, I'll just go without trying. Yeah. I'm okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I get that.
On another note, I liked how you were talking about having a crazy night and wearing the same clothes. And it was just you being a very like studious actor, like just really doing your job, where I feel like most of the way that actors and artists are portrayed, you're like, I had a crazy night. They're thinking it's like, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street or something. Yeah. Like crazy night. But
oh my gosh, you know, like
you're just kind of done.
Yeah. I wish I like was even able to like drink or whatever and stuff like that. But I just had like so much to do. And I was, but I, one of the things that they allow in Austin is like, they have something I've been taking is these like Delta 8 gummies. If you guys know what that is, it's like a THC derived from hemp. So it's like a loophole that like they could do to kind of sell like some sort of like pot here.
Oh, you're in Austin?
Yeah, I'm in Austin, Texas. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that like it's not legal everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not legal there, except hemp is legal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I feel like I would have just assumed it would be in Austin, just because I know Austin is like right. a very artist's yeah. like hotspot yeah. of Texas. But I guess it's Texas still. So.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Can't they want the Texas wants government out of people's lives, except for their edibles. Yeah. Then that's yeah. we're gonna regulate that. We're gonna keep people. Stay in their line. Hey, Yola, when did I was actually excited. You mentioned I saw you on Facebook saying you was signed with a company, like an mm-hmm. agency. And I was yeah. like, whoa, I didn't know Yola did all that. I didn't know that you were into the acting. It, has that I think I mean I knew up here you had started doing some improv with like Kenny Davis and Jimmy Sorrentino.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
sketch.
Yeah. Comedy. So, but I didn't know, you know, still it was comedy. So I didn't know, like, I didn't know if you were pursuing more acting or whatnot. Have you been since you left?
I have. And it was actually because of, so that group was called Now With Dames. And it was actually because of them that I kind of even got comfortable being in front of any sort of like camera, because like they helped me so much. Like I was so afraid to do any sort of like, anything in front of a camera before, and they would just like, okay, just look at my shoulder and stuff like that, and don't even focus on the camera, and yeah. just like, they totally helped me out with that. But I took my first acting class like probably 4 years ago here in Austin, and I was terrified of like doing it because I just wasn't like I was just trying to like I honestly only took it because I thought it would help me get better at stand up. And then, so it ended up being like such a fun class, and I didn't suck at it. So I was just like wanting to pursue it a little bit more. So the agency that like I signed with is like this agency that I kind of like dreamed of, like since I found out about all the agents and everything, like that I've like dreamed of getting signed with, but I was always like really afraid to submit with them because I was afraid of rejection right. and everything.
Yeah.
But once I finally got like more acting, like indie acting gigs and stuff like that, like I was like, I felt better about submitting to them. And I think they also just like the fact that I can speak Chinese.
Because oh, yeah, I can imagine that helps a lot with.
Yeah. Cause I think I'm the only Chinese speaker on their roster, which is kind of crazy because the job that I booked recently, like they only gave it to me because I'm a Mandarin speaker. Like I have not booked any other jobs yet. So
it takes a while, but is this an Austin based company?
Yeah, it's an Austin.
Okay. Company. And with all the tech going there, I imagine you're going to get even more.
I don't know, honestly, if I could do what I did yesterday, because it was because again, I don't read Chinese. So like what I had to do was I had to send the script over to my mom, and then she translated it to Chinese for me. And then we got on a Zoom call, and then I recorded her reading it to me. And then I retranscribed it in phonetically in English. So okay. I could like, and it took me, I basically didn't do my actual work yesterday, and then so today was all like like from my day job, because right. I still do have a day job
right.
and then so it was just like I mean, I probably have spent like 12 hours on like this, like, very small chunk, like voiceover. And then, but it's just been like, so I was kind of like, telling my, hinting at my agent, like, I don't know if I could do this again, like in the future. Yeah.
Well, so, you know, was it a SAG gig?
No, no.
So it was not. Wait till you get offered a SAG gig. I knew Silas was going to
say, like, if the price is right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
right. The price
you,
is right.
Because I could see you getting some of these. Yeah, don't say no until be unavailable for
or, like,
some.
You could have a threshold, maybe.
Yeah, go like, oh, well, no, you, I'll like, take that money. Threshold. I'll take a day off of work for this.
Yeah, I don't even know. They didn't even tell me how much this gig is paying, actually, because they just offered it to me. They were just like, my agent called me, and she was like, well, this is not common, but you just automatically book this role because nobody else speaks Mandarin on our roster.
Oh, well, because I was actually going to say, like, money. When you said it was just because of that, I was like, well, I'm sure there were other, you know, like you had competitors.
No,
don't talk yourself like,
because I actually messaged my agent like this morning, and I was like, I don't know if I'm right for this role. I don't know if you guys have anybody else. And she was like, we don't really have anybody else to do this. So,
wow.
Yeah. And if I knew this when you're out here, I mean, I could have, there's gigs I know I could have got you. I didn't
really.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I see that all the time, like people posting. Like,
I was trying to. So I don't know if you know this, Silas, but I was in Seattle for about 11 months, like during the pandemic. And then, so I was like staying with my parents and,
I did not know.
So, yeah. So because I was there for kind of a while, like I was trying to like sign with like an agency, and then I reached out to Tiffany Talent. I don't know if you know who they are.
Yes, I do.
But I was kind of like surprised of how much you had to pay up front. It was like, all together was like $800.
You're not supposed to pay anything up front.
Yeah, yeah. Before we get into too much with that agency, let's just say, I wish you would. If you had contacted me, I wouldn't have suggested, because you don't have to pay. No, it's they do something. They're a little more unique in the way they do things there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do have gigs. There's a photo. Other agencies are going to suggest to you. Here, like they may have suggested, oh, here's a photographer we like. We would suggest them. You won't require you to use them. Your agency should never require you to use.
Right. PSA for any artists listening out there. Yeah. And then typically too, like Silas said, if they suggest like, oh, we like this photographer, generally like ask. I suppose it depends on the size of your market for who's available, right? But like ask like, oh, what are three photographers you like? Or, you know, your client, your talent that books a lot, which photographers do they? Because generally those are the photographers that people are going to pick. Oh, I like this photographer. Why? Well, because my client, like my talent, they book stuff. Yeah. Unless if it's like just one where it's like they, like Silas is saying, like they require you, oh, just get this photographer, just that one. Because, you know, a lot of times when agencies say that, it's because they get a cut. You know,
there's some controversy about that agency in town. They're not, they're not exactly like one of them. The straight up. They're not one of the scam places, because they do actually send people to legit things, right? But it's that whole making us use a photographer thing that is controversial.
And it was also what was kind of. I don't know like how much I could talk about it, but like on the podcast.
Yeah, probably. I don't want to, because they're local here. I don't want to get too into that. But there's a short list of agents that I would send people to, like Big Fish and Samantha. Your agency is great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, it's not Big Fish.
It is. Well, because I was, because Melissa's my agent.
That's right.
And so when she switched agencies, I was in LA at that time, and when I came back up here, I was like, oh, I'm back, Melissa. And but then she was with a different one, so I was just like, oh, well, I like you all.
I'm with Topo Swope, and so there's a handful of
I went to Topo Swope, and I saw like there was a bunch of comedians on there and like stand-ups too, and then so I was kind of like, oh, maybe this is like the place to go, like with Topo Swope.
It's funny, it's the secret, like you find out all these secrets that some actors are doing work, and they don't tell people about it, you know. I was surprised. I went on there, I was like, hey, I didn't know they did any acting. What's yeah.
Ooh, now I want to look. I'm so curious. Yeah. I'm intrigued.
I gotta get my stuff updated on there. I was like, I need to send Tim my resume to update.
Are there a lot of for both of you guys? Like, are there a lot of gigs in Seattle that you guys get like get auditions for at all?
Samantha destroys it. She does a lot.
Well,
I don't get close to as many as she does.
You're sweet, Salas. You, especially since you got your new headshots, you've been getting more stuff.
I have been. That's true.
Yeah. Headshots, good headshots make a difference.
Y'all, there's a decent amount of work. There's surprisingly more than I thought there was. There's a lot of secret stuff that you don't really know about. Like, because it's never, unless you're, you don't know how much stuff is shot for Microsoft, like just internal videos.
Not to cut you off, Sauce, but there's like a ton of industrial work up here. You know, I feel like the commercial work and industrial work is pretty strong up here. And for listeners who may not be familiar with industrial work, like Silas was saying, like Microsoft or like training videos, like inside corporations and businesses, things like that, lots of training videos and stuff. There's some independent film stuff and some like actual like TV work. But in my experience, there's not been, like, since I've been up here, I've only had the opportunity to audition for a couple of like TV things and a couple of like feature films. So a vast majority, I mean, maybe they're looking for people who don't look like me. Right.
Right.
I mean, but I think in general, think it's just like, there's not a ton of opportunity for that.
And you kind of need to be able to do some Portland stuff to really get more into TV, but there's a lot of, there's industrial stuff and you'll find, so you can find work and such. I think there's more than people anticipate. It's a area I think it's kind of silly. A lot of the full-time comics are like the ones who aren't quite headlining but kind of talk full-time. They should be doing some of this stuff because it's easy pay for the, like, even just extra work that they could be doing when they don't have a gig.
Yeah, for extra
Yakima
work. But I was like, I wouldn't necessarily call it like easy pay, because you do definitely need a skill set to be able to like pull off
for
some of it.
But
well, it depends.
Okay, like, when they're like, hey, you need to open a paper bag.
Right.
They don't need to do their Stanislavski.
But then you might get like an industrial thing where like you might get like a training thing where you pretty much have to be memorized and you're talking about all this technical stuff. Like,
I can't do that.
Wait, are you kidding?
Oh my God. Some of this techno babble, I can't hold it in my head.
No, it's for real. Like, I had one that was like, sorry. And so I didn't mean to be like, well, you have to have some skill, but like, you know, it's like such a huge range of the type of work, even for that, like, you know, for the number of various Microsoft gigs I've done over the years. Like, there was one that I did and I really wish I got the video of it, because I was like, this was effing hard. Like, it was so hard. I sounded like an executive for the company because of like the technical stuff I was talking about and like pages of memorization and like all of the walking and talking and pointing and techno stuff. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but making it sound like I know what I'm talking about. I was so proud of myself.
But I will,
but I never got that footage.
I respect acting to the nth degree, right? But to do film, I just, for the stuff we do, I don't think you need the training. Like we're overtrained. Like, you don't need it for a lot of that. I think film, you can't just go in and do a play.
No.
You can't. But you can just kind of go in if the part's right.
Well, because lot of parts are just like, are not as like, you don't have as much to do and you can have multiple takes. But if you're getting one of those like epic roles.
Kevin Hart's a movie star. You don't have to be a great actor. Like, really, for film. I mean, come on. Let's be real. Like, you don't. To make money.
Well, we're talking about making money. Oscar. I mean, making money is totally different.
So if you come back for some reason, Yola, let us introduce you to someone.
Okay.
Yeah, for real.
Another place. Yeah, because you should have an agent up here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going back to Seattle anytime soon, unless if something,
the next pandemic.
Yeah, the next pandemic.
I mean the current one is just when they get real about it again. Samantha, I knew Yola started comedy like a couple months before me, I think.
Oh,
maybe
wow.
Maybe like 6 months before me. I'm not sure. But so she was one of the first people I met in Seattle when I started.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Are you still doing stand-up, Silas?
Well, it's I have not done it since the pandemic.
Right.
I will be returning August 21st to Bothell.
That's awesome.
Listening. I'll be doing, I'll be closing out a show. I know I'm closing. I said, how about I just do 10 minutes? They're like, well, why don't you want to close? I'm like, fine. But if someone else wants to, I'm okay just doing the 10 because it's been a while. I got to go to open mic, but I got to get a time slot somewhere so I can do an open mic.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things, I don't know, if, like, it's so easy to get up again, you know?
Not in Seattle. I feel like Seattle, it's, like, all kind of, like, the only places I know that have, like, the good mics are, like, in Tacoma right now. But I don't know where you live, so maybe that is.
There's good mics in Everett and Ballard. I mean, there's places to go up. It's just, but it's easy to, like, just go back into stand-up. Mm-hmm. So like, I got an act. I don't like it, but I got one.
Yeah.
I can, you know, I want to rewrite it, but I've got one. And, you know, I've got some new stuff that I'd love to talk about, kind of want to talk about. So it's an easy way to get those expressions out without doing a whole video or whole film. Mm-hmm. So are you still doing it, Yola?
Yeah, I'm still doing it. Yeah. I'm trying to focus more on it now, actually. So.
Now that you got an agent?
Now that she's a professional voiceover artist.
Now that you can get paid work, you're like, okay, how can I burn out again?
I mean, I was very focused on sketch and improv, like while I was like still in Austin. Like it just kind of like, I wasn't even trying to focus on it. It just kind of, once I started like doing it, like it just exponentially started. I just started getting asked to like do all these shows and like, I have kind of a popular improv troupe in Austin right now called Y'all We Asian. And we've been like kind of we're all Asian and if you couldn't tell by the name. But we just kind of like, we've gotten a lot of like cool stuff. And then, so I've just been like really focused on like producing for the improv troupe and then like doing like sketch shows and whatnot.
Wait. And so you're like, okay, well, this seems successful. Maybe I should go back to stand up. Maybe I should go to bars where people don't want me instead.
I know. I think it's just because like I've been my sketch group kind of like sort of died off a little bit. And then, so now it's like, I just have this one improv troupe, but I was in like four different improv troupes.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's just
did
like,
you meet every week with them, all four?
Sometimes like for one of them, at least I met every week, or two of them I met every week. And then some of them I had shows every week. So we didn't meet up for rehearsals and stuff like that. And then, so it was like, I had comedy, like some sort of like comedy every single night. Mm-hmm. But like either it's like rehearsal or class or something. But then I just like stopped like doing as much stand up, and I just felt like it was just like getting like my stand up was getting worse and worse, or I just wasn't getting any better or like getting as much new material and stuff. And then, so I was like, I want to go back and do it because it like brings me the most joy that I do. So I just want, so that was kind of like what I've like mostly been focused on. But yeah. So, Samantha, do you do stand up too?
Yeah, that's Silas and I met at Laughs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I'm just like listening to you and I'm like, that sounds like so much fun. I miss like all of it. I mean, I haven't really, because again, too, like the pandemic, like Silas was saying, you know, we've both been like,
we
super
both buckled down.
Cautious.
We're like, no. Nope.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. And then like, I also just had a kid. So, thank you. So that's why I was like, I'm tired. I didn't like do makeup or anything. Like I just barely got on here in time. You know, I don't expect that I'm going to be doing things as much for a while anyway.
Well, you look great, by the way. I also did not have makeup because I was just it's been kind of a crazy day. So, yeah.
Man.
Do you, what was it that took you to Austin? Was it a job, day job, or was it?
It was partially a heartbreak. And then I was dating the late Joe Fontenot at the time, if you know who he is, but he passed away during like the pandemic.
Okay. I think I did hear about him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it wasn't because of COVID. I think it was apparently because of alcoholism.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, so, but I also wanted to get more money from like my day job because I just,
was he not in Portland? Well, he was a Portland comic.
Yeah. Right? He was in Portland. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm dating another Seattle comic. Huh?
Wait,
like, did
what?
You move to Portland at one point?
No, I didn't. It was kind of like a long distance relationship. And now I'm in another long distance relationship with another Seattle comic.
Oh goodness.
Are you gonna tell us off the air?
I could tell you who it is. It's Dan Farley. You know.
Oh, I know Dan Farley. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know him.
Yeah. We just literally started dating last Tuesday. So.
Oh, and so look at that smile. That's the new just started dating smile. Look at that glow. I love it.
Yeah. So it is very new, but it's been, but he's like coming to visit me next month and everything. And so we're kind of like doing, and then I'm going back to Seattle in September. And then, so we've been kind of, we're trying to like go like on and off and whatnot.
Yeah.
See, I was actually supposed to do a gig with him, but then he couldn't make it.
Really?
So he had a very long time ago planned. Oh, no.
No. he's, I believe his sister.
Yeah.
Or somebody has lupus.
Yes.
Lupus? And my wife has lupus. She passed. Okay. Really? That's right. Because I knew there's something about how he would do a lot of lupus shows that people would raise money for. And so that's where I was supposed to meet him at one of those that I was on, but I never got to meet him. But I've always heard about him. Yola likes older men, huh? She does. Yola.
I know. He's the same age as they both like don't look their age, but so I also not sure if you know, but I am going through a divorce right now.
Blah blah. And, no.
Yeah.
To a Seattle comic as well.
No. This was a comic.
Got married.
Oh, also a comic.
Yeah, I met him doing a stand up. Yeah, but yeah, we are going through a divorce right now, and we're currently separated. But this happened in October.
Okay.
But they're the same age. They're both like 8 years older than me. So.
That's not that much older. That's not that much. When you said older men, I was thinking like they were much older than you. The way that Silas said it.
Well, yeah. Well, I know other exes of Yola's, so.
I know.
I was like, that's a lot older. I guess I thought the Joe guy was a lot older, but maybe not.
He is. Okay. He is a lot older.
I was like, well, I thought he was a senior citizen.
No,
a senior citizen.
Wow.
Hey, those discounts.
Yeah, you know, early bird.
Yeah,
that's right.
But to go back to your original question, I went to Houston because I went to like one of those coding boot camps.
Okay.
Like, and then so I ended up just really liking the weather, even though it was like so super humid and muggy and everything and so hot. But it was just like, I think I had like really bad seasonal depression in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And then I just like somehow like felt like 1,000 times happier, like being in Texas. And then, but I was like, I should try to go somewhere that like has more comedy because that's like what I actually want to do. So then I just like assumed that Austin would maybe have more comedy because I heard it was more of like a creative city and stuff. So I've never been to Austin, and I literally just like took a Greyhound and then just
moved there.
And how long ago was that?
And then did you shift my, sorry, what'd you say?
I'm sorry. How long ago did you say it was that you moved?
8 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Has it been 8 years?
Like, what's the stand-up scene grown a lot this
for
last
real
year
wait
pandemic?
Hold on, you've been
sorry,
there for 8 years?
Yeah, this is in November. Well, in November it's going to be my 8th year.
How? I don't. Wait, so you were only here. I thought I just had my. I just had my 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, we just like had our 10-year anniversary.
Wait, so I only knew you for like 2 years before you moved?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, holy I was crap. Only doing for like 2 years in Seattle.
I did not feel like. I was like, oh no, I would have told somebody. No, I did comedy with Yola for like 5 years before she moved.
Yeah. Yeah. Minimum. No, it feels like that.
At least. I was like, wow, holy crap.
Yeah. But yeah, I just like, I took a Greyhound and then I shipped my car and like, just kind of like had whatever I could fit in the car where they could ship. Like, and I just brought all of that here and then started over. Like,
wow. Okay.
So yeah.
I didn't know
the single person. It was hard. Like, I remember just like getting super drunk by myself at home and just like crying.
Oh. Because I was just so like, you've already practiced being a parent. That's great. Just get drunk.
Oh, man. It's hard moving someplace by yourself, mm-hmm. like a new yeah. place. No, that I don't is have so the guts freaking to hard. Do that.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. Well, it's like hard for you guys now with like kids and everything to like uproot everybody's lives and.
Oh, I would never have been able to do that young. Like, no. Oh. Or that old, or older. Like, no, when I was single, I never could have. Like, I really don't know what I would have done if, when I got divorced, if I didn't have the kid, I don't know what I would have done. Because, like, I would have had the balls to, like, I don't think I would have to, like, move to New York.
Well, you never know, Silas. Alone. Like, you alone without, know.
Like, I would have needed somebody to, like, oh, we're going to go together, right? We're going to.
Well, I guess I kind of get that sense. But, like, I don't know. When I had gone to LA, I didn't think I was ever going to move, like, oh, that. Like, I didn't want to live far away from my family. Like, I just didn't want to. And I moved down there. I was going to get my own place, but I wound up dating somebody who was in LA. So they helped me drive down there. And then I was going to get my own place.
Mm-hmm. And then but then like
after
them?
I was down there for a couple of weeks, then I broke up with them because they were different than I had thought. Anyway. And so that was definitely an experience being like I knew, like, I think I was friends with like one other person really there and I didn't really have a job yet or anything. I had some money saved up, but like.
And a dream.
You know, oh, for sure. I was.
You had that to focus you.
I did. Yeah, no, of course. I was I was very stubborn following that dream.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So cool. Probably, here's what I would have done. My wife, we get divorced. I would have started applying for grad school. That would have been what I would have done. I would have stayed in Seattle until I got to grad school. Then I could hide there for a little while. And then I could try to make a decision on, okay, I'm done with grad school. I guess I got to go. Anyone else want to go to New York or LA? Come on. Don't make me make a life decision by myself. I can't even imagine how to start.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, pick up the paper? Like, I don't even. Who I think it's the bravest thing to do. I don't know. That's my problem. I would have been looking in the paper, trying to find a house. Would have kept finding massage parlors.
Oh boy.
Like what? I can't sleep here?
But yeah. It's, oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy.
Good nap. So have you been doing films? Have you done any films down there, y'all?
I did one indie film like in 2019, like right before the pandemic and everything. And then it just premiered 5 weeks ago at one of the festivals in Austin.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was really cool because I was the star in the movie too. Hey.
Wow. Oh yeah. I saw that. Okay.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. It was like the premiere was so cool because it was only for our movie, like for because it was a feature length film.
Yeah.
And so like it was like I just felt like a super like star that night where it was like they even had like a drink named after me and everything. And then it was like,
what was the drink?
Well, it was just called Yola's Gin and Tonic because they asked me like what I like drinking, and then I was just like gin and tonic.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so, and you got to see it in a theater because COVID doesn't exist in Texas.
It doesn't. It basically doesn't exist in Austin, but but we had it on. It was an outdoor screening with like Austin as like the backdrop of it, and then so
like, that's cool.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun, like being able to do that, and then so no, not in a theater, but we were. I think it was like we had like 300 people come out for it and everything. So it was like probably more seating than we could have been able to do like inside somewhere too, which was cool. Yeah. But it's crazy because like, you know, about like COVID in Austin, like we're at stage four now, which is apparently supposed to be like, people are supposed to wear masks like inside and whatever, even if you're vaccinated now.
Oh,
but like nobody, no, but like a lot of people are not doing that still, like in Austin. And then because like they just like took off like all the mask mandates and everything.
Yeah. CDC just said, like, y'all fucking up. Y'all need to start wearing masks again.
Yeah. Everybody and people are basically just like, no, thank you. Here.
Yeah. Well, it is so frustrating how the verbiage and all of that has not been consistent.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I think it's not that it's consistent. It's that it's now going gangbusters again. Mm-hmm. And it's the Delta variant is going nuts right now.
Oh, cases are doubling. Yeah.
So it's not that it's not the verbiage now. It's that. It's not the verbiage.
That's not what I mean. I mean, like the issue with getting people to wear masks, because it hasn't been like united front.
Oh, yeah.
Like leadership and stuff saying everybody wear masks, blah, blah, blah. You need it. It's been like this whole, and then, you know, not even everybody on the same page. And then maybe they get on it for a second and then they switch. And then it's, you know, it's just, and then trying to get everybody to listen when they're, you know.
That motherfucker. If Donald Trump had just said wear masks,
yeah,
we fucking not would have this problem.
But even still, like when they took away the mat, when they just, what, like a month ago, was it? How long ago was it? A month, when they were like, it's okay, you guys don't have to wear masks now if you're vaccinated, honor system.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, hell no.
No,
like, I'm like, this, that, what?
You mean like not using the carpool lane? Well, that kind of honor system?
Yeah.
No, no. Oh my God.
I know. Yeah, because you definitely like, so my sister is kind of a QAnon head. I know. And she like does not believe in masks and everything. She doesn't think that you could actually be asymptomatic and have COVID and all this stuff. Like, it's like really crazy, like what she believes in and doesn't believe in. But like, if she hears that she could go to a place without a mask, even if she's like not vaccinated, she just doesn't even wear a mask. Like,
well, that whole like honor system thing too, it was like, well, yeah, because people weren't listening before when they said you have to wear a mask. People are getting into fights and like, right. Let me in the grocery store. You know, like, just like
attention.
Jeez.
You know what? It's not even like, at least the people that were the worst, who the ones who are pretending that that it would physically hurt them to wear a mask, as if they, the ones who said, no, I have a medical condition. I'm like, you lie. You know, there's no such condition. You liar. Y'all think we can't like check?
Some people though do have like actual like anxiety, trauma related things to mask wearing though.
Yeah, that wasn't
them. I know, but I'm saying some people actually did have issues.
I don't believe any person who got videoed actually has any issue with it. I believe there's probably people with anxiety and who have PTSD with that.
I didn't think that was real until I'd seen some people like on like Facebook friends of mine who were talking about it. And I was like, oh, I know this person isn't making it up. Like, oh.
Yeah. I still wear a mask, but I get really bad anxiety where sometimes I have like, I'll get like panic attacks, like all of a sudden thinking like I can't breathe with it and stuff like that. And then, but like my sister, she like just says things like, I don't know, it's hard to breathe. And then she's like, she doesn't wear a mask. And I'm like, you don't think everybody thinks that it's hard to breathe? Like, nobody wants to wear a mask. Like,
it's hard to breathe with oxygen tubes down your throat too. That's
right.
That's really hard to breathe.
Yeah.
What do you, have you worn a Halloween mask?
Have I worn a Halloween mask? No. Like, no? I have, like, yeah, like, because, like, I get my lashes done. Like I get lash extensions and everything. And like to wear a mask for like a straight, like an hour and a half sometimes to like do your lashes. Like sometimes I'm just like I can't, it's like super hard to like breathe, like after sitting there for like that long and stuff like that, but like have to do it. Gotta get my lashes
done. My asthmatic wife really can't tolerate talks because she has to, she works at a oncology clinic.
Tolerate which?
She can't tolerate the when people say that they can't breathe or whatever. Because she's like, I have asthma.
Yeah.
I wear this for 10 hours every day.
Oh my gosh.
And a whole other getup. She has a mask and a shield and other things because they have to, because they're trying. Oh, like, because they will kill people. They will kill people.
Right. Yeah.
There's no question. So she wears it. So she's like, I can't, she just can't hang with that. She's like, no, you can all deal with it. Anyone can deal with it.
Yeah.
I just don't like, I still gotta get lied to. That's the thing. Just say you don't want, I really appreciate the people say, no, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, I respect that.
Mm-hmm. Honesty.
Yeah. But the, I have a medical condition. You're violating my HIPAA rights. Like,
did
no.
you say HIPAA rights?
Yeah. Because that's what they say sometimes. They don't know what they're talking about because that's not, it's not HIPAA, not HIPPO, not HIPAA. speaking of HIPAA though, okay. One of my guilty pleasure movie stars has a movie coming out.
Oh.
And I want to know how you guys feel about. So the next Dwayne Johnson movie.
Oh,
he's your guilty. He's a guilty pleasure for you.
Oh, I'll watch anything he does. Like, it doesn't sound stupid. So the next one is Jungle Book or Jungle Cruise coming out, right?
Oh, right.
Have you seen the trailer?
I did see the trailer.
How do you feel about this?
I thought it looked stupid.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to go see it opening.
I could also watch it. You know what I mean? I'm like, that looks dumb. But if it's on Netflix or something, I will turn it on.
Has he done anything bad, though? Really? Like, doesn't he make every movie delightful? Even like Tooth Fairy. Like,
that's true.
Every movie is like, you know what? You made this movie. You made it.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's now pleasurable.
He's likable.
He's
likable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And him and Dave Bautista with their little like silent war with each other. Bautista.
They're the silent war.
Well, Dave Bautista's made some comments about how The Rock's not a good actor.
Oh. Dang.
Now, Dave Bautista's a pretty good actor. I will say that. Yeah. I think he's done really well besides with the Guardian movies. I remember talking on here about the spy movie that he did with a kid. He was freaking hilarious. That's a great movie.
Okay.
It's on Amazon. It's a Prime original, I think. So
okay.
You can check that out. He's pretty good. So, and I'll say, I don't think The Rock's a fan. You know, I don't think he's going to get an Oscar anytime soon, but that man, I would generally think be against movies that are based off of a theme park attraction.
Oh, is that what it's based off? Because I kind of thought like, cause it's also Emily Blunt in it too. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought it was like a spinoff of Tarzan.
Oh no, no, it's a total Disney, it's a written off the Disney ride.
You know, I just feel like sometimes you just need something that's a little bit like, you say guilty pleasure, or just like you just adventure. Need a little bit of the cotton candy movie, or the little like, you know what I'm watching right now that is also terrible. Oh my goodness. I try not to talk like this. I don't want to get in trouble
with
industry people listening. Still cast me, okay? I'm watching Virgin River.
It's
on Netflix, and there's three seasons. It is like, it's like a Hallmark movie that's been made into episodes. It is so bad, but so good for me to watch right now. Silas knows, some listeners, I like gritty detective movies, or like things about killers, or just, you know, some sort of psychological whatever. And like, I don't want to watch that stuff right now, you know? So like, this is great. Cause it's like, there's so many freaking cliches in it. So many. And some of the acting is not great. I feel like I've seen those actors in other things act better, but like just the way that this is, it's not great, but I can't stop watching it.
Mm-hmm. I'll check it out.
It's like number like 5 in the US right now or something. It's like in the top 10.
Once I finish Atypical.
Oh, I want to watch that too.
That's Yola, your movie that just came out then. Is it going to go to wide release or
I don't know. I mean, right now we're just like trying to submit it into other festivals and everything.
Okay.
But I don't know if we can even with like some of like the copyright things like we did in it. Yeah.
So yeah, get some permission. Hopefully you can get it on at least Amazon Prime or something for us to watch.
Yeah.
Let us know it's been on. Yeah. Is there anything you learned from doing your own starring in a feature?
It was kind of tough. It was, well, so my experience was like kind of like weird because I was pregnant actually on set during that time. I don't have a baby anymore because I ended up having a miscarriage on this, like during then also. And then, so it was just like, it was a lot like, sorry, I know I'm like throwing a
No, I'm sorry. I'm like, sorry. I don't know how to react. I'm like, sorry to hear that.
Bombshell after bombshell on here.
I know. What I would say was like, I wish that we, because all the crew was like male. And then one of the things I kind of really wished for was having like a female crew member that would like maybe understand kind of what I was going through. But I also felt like really afraid to like tell them at the time because I knew the director was like super stressed out all the time. And then they were like really worried about like the need, like doing things like with the baby and everything. And then so they were just like trying to be extra careful. And then, so I just didn't want to like ruin anybody else's day. So I basically was just like I had like the miscarriage at like 5 a.m. like one of the mornings of, and then I just like, I like laid in bed for like a few hours with like a heating pad and was like crying like pretty hard because it was like, I mean, I don't know how familiar you guys are like with miscarriages, but I was like, I just passed the first trimester. And then it was just like, yeah. And then I just like, we were actually about to announce that we were pregnant. And then it was just like, that was like the day it happened. Like when we like were planning to announce,
oh my God.
But like, I went back on set, like within a few hours and everything. And I just like, didn't tell anybody that like,
very familiar with them. I mean, you go through the birth process, your body.
Yeah, I had no idea that, like, because for some reason I just imagined that it would just be like a period or something, but like, no, it felt like I was going through like a mini labor or something.
Yeah,
no.
It is.
Yeah.
Without being ready, without the body ready for it.
Yeah, wow. Like, all I could describe it as is felt like, you know, it's like an expulsion or an explosion of like whatever from my body. And mm-hmm. I was just like, I've never felt anything like it before. And it was just like,
I can't believe you could get on set.
Oh my goodness.
Honestly, that's crazy.
I mean, it was probably because like I buried it. So like the emotions of it so like fast and hard that like I probably was like still going through like a lot of trauma like about it for a while and stuff.
I mean, watching the movie, is it hard then? Like
kind of, because I could kind of like point through like, oh, that's when I was pregnant. You could tell I was a little bigger like here.
Wow. And
that. So it was definitely kind of hard like watching the movie because I call it like my miscarriage movie. And then so like, and it just kind of like brings back like kind of like bad memories, like kind of thinking about it. And I kind of hated the fact that that happened to be like my first like experience, like with it and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Well, probably not your last. It will not be your last though. So hopefully each one after will.
Yeah.
Change things for you.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh. Wow. Well, okay, Yola, before we, time is creeping here. We got something to ask you though.
Okay.
Everyone who comes on here, the first time they come on, we ask them, we have 7 questions we like to ask them. It's the Black and a Half world famous seven questions. Okay. So here they are. There's no wrong answer. Just the first thing that comes to your mind on these, and we'll be there. And that'll be it. Number one, what are you most nerdy about?
The Equalizer. The movie with Denzel Washington.
Really?
Yeah.
Watch that right now.
Like the whole franchise?
Well, yeah. Well, just like the Equalizer 1 and 2. It's kind of like this like running joke between all my friends that anytime something comes up that's like related to the Equalizer, everybody like sends it to me.
Like, that's awesome.
At my last Christmas party, I just had the Equal, because like it wasn't out on Blu-ray or DVD yet, and It was only for like electronic like download. And then so I bought it like right the day it came out for Equalizer 2, and I played it on repeat at my Christmas party for like to make everybody watch it.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So
I still haven't seen it. I've wanted to, but I just haven't. Like, I've seen it on TV. But
is
just,
it on any platform right now?
I don't. Not free.
I don't think so. Yeah, not free.
Oh, man. Dang it.
Man, I might just have to go. Yeah, I might have to drop the $4 to watch it.
Ooh. Yeah. No, it's worth it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's something that you love to eat?
Taco Bell.
Oh.
What do you like at Taco Bell?
I just get the bean burrito with extra red sauce for some reason. It was just like, that's what extra. I ate like kind of as a kid and everything. And it's just like been very like comforting. Like
I like the bean burritos too with raw onions.
Yeah. Chef's kiss.
What do you mean with raw onions? That's the only option.
I don't know. I guess you could get it without onions, but I really like the crunch of the raw onion.
No, the bean burrito from Taco Bell is a perfect food.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I could live off those. I mean, it's I take it as is though. I was like, look, I can't mess with perfection. Just bring it as you want.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Side note. Did you see the Conan, like YouTube one where he goes in like with the taste testers on Taco Bell?
Yes.
Yes. I
love it. So good. Yeah.
Hashtag bring back the tostada. Okay. Okay. What's something that you love to drink?
Malbec, probably.
Ooh, nice. Yum. Okay. Do you have a specific recommendation for us if we were?
No, I usually just like get whatever is about in the $14 range or less.
You go, give me the Malbec.
Yeah, exactly. So nice. I'm strictly middle shelf.
Like. Okay. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
What kind of music do you love?
I've been super obsessed with Olivia Rodrigo recently. She is this like Filipina like pop singer that has gotten like really, really big in the US. Like Sierra might know who she is.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, it's for teens. So that's like what I mean. Yeah.
What do you love to create?
I love creating episodic content, like either like writing like pilots or like I made a web series a few years ago that I wrote, and then I just recently rewrote and wrote another web series. But I really like making like the web series episodes and stuff like that.
Okay. What's a game you love to play?
There is like, I don't, in terms of like for like improv warm up, I like to do something called like mind meld, which is like when two people like think of a word and then you say it out loud and then you try to take those like two words and try to make it into like the same word eventually with like clues. But yeah,
I love that game too.
Yeah.
Okay, and last question.
Okay,
in 100 years. When someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
I want to be remembered for being a kind person that always was trying to be as honest as she could be. I also would like to be remembered for being a great comedian and actress that was very passionate about like what she did. So.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Yola Lil, thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
And joining us here for this hour.
Yes, it was so much fun. Thank you.
Staying awake and
yeah, it's awesome.
I don't know, 2 hours ahead there.
Yeah.
Okay. So really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Well, and hopefully when you're back in Seattle, if you visit again, love to, we can say hi.
Yeah.
Connect with you. I love that. There.
Yeah.
So which, I mean, is there anything people should be on the lookout for, whether locally or not, or on air?
Well, people can check out my web series. It's called Uncomfortable, the Series, on YouTube and Vimeo. So that's something that people could check out from wherever they are.
Uncomfortable, the Series. Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. With Yola Lou.
And you wrote that one?
Yeah, I wrote that one. And there's one video about me using the bathroom at work. I think there's like a weird fetish thing going on, but it has like over like 500,000 views on it.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
But I really think it's a fetish thing. So, yeah.
Now I need to watch it to figure out which fetish.
I was actually What's just going to look up your, yeah, look up your, so I can watch your show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very quick.
All right.
Thank you.
Black and a half. Live long and prosper.